Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Good afternoon, America. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the best in online radio, the Six Eyes Radio Network. And you're listening to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Lord, thank you for allowing us to make the woke list today. They got us at this point right here. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network for this January 4th, 2024. Amen. How's everyone doing this afternoon?
Doing great.
I'm doing amazing. Everybody's eager this morning. Yes. Amen. Good morning, Missionary Ken and Sister Ruth.
Good morning. Good morning.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Beautiful, everyone. God bless everyone. I'm having a good time.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the show.
Yeah, definitely going to have a great show, but I just want to thank the Lord for all that he's doing and continue to do for each and every one of us in our own lives, in our careers. I want to thank him for continuing to let the Six Eyes Radio Network climb to greater, greater, greater heights. I want to thank him for continuing to bless the Six Eyes Radio Network. God is definitely blessing the Six Eyes Radio Network. God is definitely blessing the Six Eyes Radio Network. So thank you, Lord. Just continue heights. Thank you. You deserve all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Best partner to have is God. Best partner to have is God. So that is our partner here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God, he's the CEO. Not me, him. With that, I'm complete.
All right. And it looks like Six Eyes took care of the opening prayer. Amen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You just didn't realize you did it, but you did it. But
double tap to open.
Amen.
So
okay.
you snuck that in, just didn't even realize you did it.
No. All right.
So all
right.
We got to do is do the scripture reading and get right into the show. Amen. So,
okay.
All right, I think we'll do just that. So here we go.
This is Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite, and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old socks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clothed upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us, and may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. And this was Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And God forgive me, but we still got to add a blessing to the reading of your word this week.
Amen. Amen. And speedy recovery for Emily. Speedy recovery for her. Speedy recovery for her mom. Just the whole world. The whole world. Just, you know, the sick and shut in. Just praying for the whole world. God is a healer. God is a healer. So that covers you, me, my family, your family. That covers the world. So everybody just eat some chicken noodle soup. Chicken noodle soup. Drink a warm cup of cocoa, tea, or coffee. And you'll be back. Amen. And Mary Johnson, faithful listener of the Six Eyes Radio Network, continued speedy recovery for her as well. Amen. Everybody.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, excitement tonight after the show. Later on tonight is the 56th Grammy Awards for you music enthusiasts. So check that out if you are. All right. So, my mental is great. Two thumbs up for myself. Two paws up for Trumpet. What about everyone else?
Well, I've got two thumbs up. My wings are spread. My halo is just right in place there, Six. So I'm doing great. I'd say, how about everybody else?
I don't know.
I got two thumbs up, two toes up, and want to hug Trumpet and everybody else. I'm just praising the Lord for another beautiful day in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, on this February 4th, 2024, I have two thumbs up, 10 toes up, and Diamond has four paws up and is running around here with the Zoomies. So
okay.
She's good. My crown is
all
sitting
right.
Just perfect on my head. Amen.
Yeah. And Diamond is a funny cat. Diamond doesn't speak much, but I do, you know, when I am around Diamond, Diamond is very happy. He's very happy. She doesn't speak much, but she's happy, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a she's a cute little cat, but she's getting heavy. I remember she could walk on me, and I wouldn't even feel it. I'm like, this little cat, you got to start eating. And why did I say that? Because apparently she went to the cat's buffet, because now when she stands on me, Lord, do I feel it. Oh, wow.
Tell me about it. I feel it when she jumps and walks on me.
Yeah, so she's very, very, very beautiful cat. Doesn't say much, but when she walks on you, you feel it. Now, if you got some treats, she's happy. She'll give you a little meow. You know, you'll hear that. But Trumpet is the talker. Trumpet is the one that you'll go to sleep, and he's still talking after you wake up.
Orange tabbies, from what I understand, are talkers. Diamond is a gray cat. She's very prissy, very bougie, and she dresses like her mother. Whatever colors I'm wearing, she's wearing on her collar.
Okay, cool.
So, am I understanding this right? Like trumpet, like master.
Is trumpet what?
Like trumpet, like master.
Oh yes, definitely, yes. And I didn't know it when I picked him up, but oh my God, that is the funniest thing. He talks more than Six. Yes, definitely.
All right. That was a nice dig, Wolfgang. Do you have your coffee with you?
Yeah.
It's true. I promise. You got to hear him.
Yeah, trumpet.
So it must be something real fun when the two of them in the same room.
Yes. And they dance together all day long. If it's not him all over Six's feet, wherever Six is going to sit, trumpet jumps there first. So they're funny. They're a pair. They're a perfect pair.
Oh, yeah. Yep, trumpet. Love that cat. Love that cat. Amen. And we have Dark Vader with us. How you doing, sir? Welcome to the show. Amen.
All right. So let's go on. Go ahead. Take over.
Let us all dance for Jesus. No, I won't be doing that. I'm going to let you play a couple of tunes and go from there.
All right. Well, let's get started.
All right.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. When there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path and opening every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. I haven't
Separate me from your love.
When there's so much more, it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful for my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out hallelujah here. Hallelujah, life with you is worth fighting. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard
for listening to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
So you enter into this building. You brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today. That when you leave here, it won't be the same. So you tell me, you've been to your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and your soul. Yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal. He can heal. And
he can mend a broken. He can mend your broken head.
He has
the miracle. He has the miracle to fit your need.
Won't you trust?
Won't you trust?
Oh yes, you will. Thank you, Lord. God knows about the situation, but with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your need, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
Oh,
your healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I have
received. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord.
I receive
the healing, Lord. I receive your healing, Jesus.
I receive
the touch from you. I'll stand and wait on the Lord and be of good courage. But you said you're stripping my heart. Hand to heaven, right where you are. Come on and tell them.
We ready to do this?
Nah, man. Everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
I love him like I do.
All right, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Later on, you know, we missed a powerful message from my very own pastor, Kenneth Bonnet, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, we're about to listen to some new music. So everybody sit back, get your coffee, your cocoa, your soda. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
You are the endless well, deep enough to reach skies. But another ocean floor, makes me want to slow down. What I got all inside. I know you always got it, always got it.
Go there, go back to simple way, cause I make it complicated, celebrate. I don't wanna miss out right now, the way you first loved me. You just take me right back to the simple way.
Feels good to be honest, feels so good.
Not yet.
All right, we're going to keep boogieing.
I will let you know.
All right. Phone lines are open, 424-243-9617.
Let's go.
Change your world around me. My life, Lord, you say, where would I be without your love? Where would I be without your grace? You didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. Can't pretend that what I got it on my own. Every move that I make, can't say I've never been wrong. When I fell, you picked me up again, so I brought it on.
Thank you.
All right, everything going well? Let's play a commercial.
Hey, baby.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, bless the name of the Lord.
Go ahead, Pastor Bonnet.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what I was waiting on. Amen.
Yep. I was just getting my phone handy here, so just want to say welcome to our one and only Pastor Bonnet, and now you are ready to be treated to a wonderful message from God's Word by our one and only Pastor Bonnet here only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So sit back, enjoy, grab your cocoa, your coffee, and especially your Bible. So here you are, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
God bless, sir.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Greatly appreciate it. God bless all, everyone, the Six Eyes Radio Network team. Amen. I'm thanking God for yet being still alive with purpose. Thanking God that I'm clothed and in my right frame of mind. Thanking God that my name definitely made the woke list this morning. Amen. And so I'm thankful to be here in the land of the living. And it speaks volume to me because it says to me, my God still has purpose in this world for my existence. And so I'm full of potential, full of promise. Amen. And so are you. You that are listening, you're full of potential. You're full of promise. Amen. Our goal, empty ourselves out. Amen. Amen. You're full of untapped potential. You're full of promise. You're full of your future, your destiny. Amen. And God is ready to use you, but you have to go through the process. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful to be here again today here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. We thank God for Brother Six, a.k.a. Charles Sanford. We thank him for following the vision that God gave him so long ago. Amen. And we want to honor him as we honor all our pioneers in this month of Black History, the month of February, as we commemorate those that have gone on to make a positive mark in our world today. Amen. So we want to say to Brother Charles Sanford, a.k.a. Six Eyes, thank you for trusting God to do the radio station, to allow it to continue to grow in you and develop. And we pray your much success and that God will continue to use you and let this program, this station, build and develop by touching the lives of so many people all across the world. So thank you. Thank you, Mama Six and Papa Six, for putting that drive in you to not stop. Amen. So thank you once again. And to everyone in your respective places, amen. Each one of you are gifts of God. God bless my own personal wife. Amen. All the women that's on the line, God bless each one of you. Amen. I'm just thankful to be here in your company today. Really giving honor to God for all the things he is allowing to take place in my life. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to share in the word of truth today. This is a month of February. We're dealing with destiny. And so we're going to still take purpose into destiny as we go forward. But I want to commemorate someone else, two other people. I want to give us two quotes, two well-known people that most of us may know by name, amen, and that is Coretta Scott and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Amen. Did you know that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Made this particular quote? He stated, "The time is always right to do what is right." I'm going to say it again. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. quoted, "The time is always right to do what is right." Amen. Amen. So that means there's no time to do wrong. Amen. Amen. But the time is always right to do what is right. Amen. And Coretta Scott, blessed as she is or was, amen, God gave her this wonderful phrase. And I want you to think about this. This is truly food for thought. She said this, and it's going to bless you. Listen well. She said, "Hate, T-E, hate is too great of a burden to bear. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated." Oh, I saw it go over your head. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen to the end. She said, "Hate is too great of a burden. It injures the hater." You know, you're the one that dishing it out. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated. That means doing more damage to you than it's doing to the person you hating. Mm-hmm. So it's too much of a burden to bear. So let it go, people. Forgiveness is divine. But it blesses you when you do it. That's what she said. Once again, Coretta Scott King said, "Hate is too great of a burden to bear. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated." Wow. Powerful
That's
words.
That's deep.
Powerful
right
words. Powerful words. So let's be mindful, people. What time it is? Time to do right. And I'm not going to carry the burden of hate, amen, for any reason, amen, because it injures me more than it injures those that I hate. Let me thank God once again. We're still building on the premises of these understandings. The better I understand who I am, that's number one. To understand my purpose, to understand my purpose, or in understanding my purpose, it helps me to fulfill my destiny. And so, so I do that by first understanding who I am. So these are philosophical questions that every human being may have. And years ago, I was teaching from, God gave me this when I was a children minister, who I am, whose I am, and to know my purpose. And the teaching of Dr. Miles Monroe many years later, as I got that, it just added to this understanding. Who I am is a question. Who am I? Number two, where am I from? So many people have this big question of what is the origin of man? Many people think that we're some type of accident that happened through the process of time through slimy algae. Some think we came from apes. Some think we was in the sea and came to land and begin to walk upright. All kinds of stuff. This determines whether or not you really fulfill your destiny.
This determines whether or not you understand how blessed you are, how important you are. Then the third one is, why am I here? You know, many people have been mistreated in their development and growing. They was abused as children. They was raped, molested. Some just was plain out neglected, whether it was on purpose or by default, whether their parents was educated or uneducated, whether it was on drugs or just very busy people that didn't have time to share their love. And children grew up with, well, why am I here? Was I meant to be a punching bag? Was I meant to be talked down to? These are very, 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 very important questions. So if you don't understand the purpose, how can you ever fulfill the destiny? You know, we talked about having a hammer and nails. And we know if you want to build a house today, you're going to need a hammer and some nails. You're going to need a whole lot of other stuff, but you're going to at least need a hammer and some nails. So you're going to have to go to where you purchase hammer and nails from. And when you get to that hardware store, you're going to see all of the other tools in there. They are untapped potential. They are things that are there waiting on someone who have a purpose, waiting on someone who's ready to fulfill a need. And you and I, sometimes we are just like that. And what we have to realize is God placed all of us here in this world so that we may be utilized for the development of the kingdom of God. So you have untapped potential. So there's a need for you in this world. That's why you're still here. Number four, very good question to ask yourself. What can I do? What are you good at? What do you like doing? What would you do for free if you had to? What would you do if they didn't even pay you what it was worth? What would you do, or what have you done, and when you've done it, you really didn't feel that tired from doing it? You felt more energized after you look back at your finished work. So four was, what can I do? Number five is, where am I going? See, in order for you to truly meet your destiny, fulfill your destiny, you must know where you're going. I mean, let's think about it. I need some eggs. Okay, Kenneth, you're a city boy. So being in the city, you need some eggs. You can't get them just sitting at the house. There's no chicken coops around there. And no chickens around the neighbor's house. You're going to have to get up and go to the store where eggs can be purchased. So where am I going? Why? I'm going there because I'm trying to get what I need to fulfill a need, to fulfill purpose. And a lot of times we are living void lives and unfulfilled lives because we don't ask ourselves these questions. We don't solve these questions. We don't give answer to them. Who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? What can I do? Where am I going? Excuse me. Notice, none of those says anything about anybody else outside of your personal view. It's not, well, what are they doing? Well, why did they do that? Well, why can't I have what they got? None of that stuff matters in fulfilling your destiny. You must know who you are, where you're from, why you're here, what can you do, why, or where are you going. These things, hopefully, as we journey this month into destiny, that God will give us answers and resolve some things for us. I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. Okay? To start with, verse 11 in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. And the book of Ephesians and Corinthians, when we studied these particular books and the times in which they were written in, we understand something totally different about the culture. And it helps us to understand why it's written like it is, to give us information that we have in Ephesians chapter 1. And again, I'm reading the New King James Version. It reads like this: In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That is a very loaded statement. It's very powerful all by itself. And the truth be, I really can preach just from that one scripture text. But what we're going to do is an exercise in learning together. So we're going to, that's our start text, to let us know there are some things that are predestined for us. Wow. Predestined. That means if destiny is something you're going to, and this was predestined, so this is something that happened to assign something to happen. But what is that assignment? He says, in him, in who is the question, also we have attained, we got it already. We have it already. See, a lot of us don't understand that the greatness that you need to do something is already within you. But the process of learning how to apply what needed to be done is the journey that you must take. But he says to us, he says, in him also we have attained an inheritance. An inheritance is something that is given to you, not because you earned it, not because you necessarily worked for it. It says that it was being predestined. That means it was already assigned for you to do. So the good news is God has given each one of us an inheritance that was already pre-assigned for our lives. It says, according to the purpose. Purpose bring meaning. By bringing meaning, it also brings value. That means you worth something. Now, all of us is made of dirt and water. I heard it said that we are 70% water, and the rest we're just dust. And if you removed all the water, we're about the value of about 50 cents worth of dirt. Wow. Now, that'll put us all down, make us all feel sad. But it depends on where the dirt comes from. You know, you can take sand from this beach, and it may cost a little bit more money because it's real silky and soft and pretty and light in color. But you go down to California and get that sand from Silicon Valley. Well, they make microchips with that. That sand is extremely expensive because those microchips go all over the world, touching every type of electronical device known today. So what if God took you from some special dust and he designed you to touch so many lives that the preacher from the pulpit can't touch because he's in the pulpit, but you're out in the street. You're in the neighborhood. You're at their school. You're at their playground. You're at their malls. You're at their shopping centers. You're at the doctor's office. When you begin to realize that you got sick this time and you were fussing, but you got sick only so that you could go to the doctor's office just to encourage him because he was depressed. I know y'all don't believe that. You think the doctor don't have issues? You don't think the doctor worry and become unease? What about the doctor that can't control their weight? And you're sitting in their office and they're trying to talk to you about their health, and God just put something in your spirit just to say, hey, tell him I love him. Tell her I love him. And I haven't forgotten my promise. And you all inside, you nervous to say what God has put in your heart to say. Well, Lord, I'm not a prophet. You know, you ain't got to be a prophet. You ever been sitting in the classroom when you were going to school and somebody passed your note and they say, pass it over to them? Well, you're not the mailman, but you passed the note, didn't you? Hey, amen. All God is doing is passing a note because that person's heart has hardened. Their ears are blocked because of the troubles in their life. And God needs to get a message to them. They haven't opened their Bibles in a while. And God just wanted to simply remind them that he loved them. And he put it in your heart to say. And you was worrying about whether or not you could quote scriptures, and you didn't want to get, you ain't want to cross no racial barriers. You didn't want to, you want to be unprofessional. You ain't want to mix business with pleasure. Whatever reason you gave yourself. And not fulfilling the purpose in which God has us here. So once again, the text read from the New King James Version, in him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works of him. So let's identify the him. We're going to call it. That's God the Father. In him, or in Christ, in him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now we go on and read, it'll fulfill everything. But before I get so far ahead of myself, let's just back up and let's take this lesson together. So we're going back to 33, excuse me, of chapter 1, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So today's study, for those of you that go behind me after the broadcast and read it and study it on your own time, it will be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Now let me read verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Wow. How many spiritual blessings? Every. That means if God has called it a blessing in his spiritual realm, it is not being withheld from us. So he's saying bless. That bless is giving thanks and recognition. And it's saying, it's speaking well. When you bless someone, you're saying you're doing something good. You're pronouncing something good. You're stating something good. You're doing something good. You're bringing about good. So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, the Father, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, where? In heavenly places. Not in heaven. A long time ago, people used to always talk about when I get to heaven, by all the blessings that's going to be in heaven, all the things that are going to be in heaven. There's going to be a lot of things in heaven, but God is not withholding gifts from us that's needed here for us to get to heaven to get those, because our ultimate destination is not to get to heaven. Because if that was the case, when we got saved, he would have just went ahead and took us to heaven. In fact, the plan of God from the beginning was to create a kingdom of God, which is heaven, here on planet Earth, colonization. It was God who placed Adam and gave him authority to spread the kingdom throughout all the earth. But instead of using authority to spread the kingdom, he believed the lie of the serpent, and he gave the authority that he had over to Satan. In a sense, what he did was he committed treason, because he was given authority to have dominion, and he gave it away to someone who was not authorized to have it. Back to the text. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, which is God's anointing, or God's anointed one. So deals with God's kingdom. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us, he did what? See, a lot of times we like to say, ooh, I found religion. Well, you might have found religion, but God drawed you. But he was drawing you for a relationship, not religion. Christ did not come to start a religion. That's the biggest, that the body of Christ, the people, have made. Christ didn't come to start a religion. He was coming to fulfill the initial assignment was to spread the kingdom of God throughout the earth. Not a religion. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. This sounds like the God that tells the end before the beginning begins. Wow. So he's saying to us, there are destiny already lined up. Why? Because I chose you not when you started it. I chose you not when you made up your mind. What he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I ordained you. So before we even came through the birth canal, there was purpose with our name on it. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You didn't get yourself saved. He reached out and saved you. You just came to the knowledge of salvation and received what he had already predestined for you, for us. I'm saved too. But I didn't save myself. He did it for me even before the foundation of the world. Not just when, in other words, the Christ had already died for us even before the cross, the death of the cross. This was already the original plan to bring man back into relationship, because he knew that Adam was going to fall. Now, when we say fall, Adam didn't fall from heaven. Satan fell from heaven. Adam fell from authority. Adam fell from dominion. The fall of man is the loss of dominion, loss of authority, loss of ownership. And so when we deal with that, we have to realize that redemption is receiving that back. The redemption work of Christ gives us authority again. And that's why it's so important for us to understand the purpose for our living. Because if I don't understand it, then I will either misuse it, abuse it, or won't use it. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy. So understand this, my brother, my sister. God wants you to be holy. Don't say it's too hard. Don't say it's impossible. He done it already. It's in his word. Now, here's the reality. Text says, may God be true and men be a lie. So if God is true, this word says that we should be holy, and you say we can't be holy, then who lied? God or you? He says that we should be holy, what? Without blame, before him in love. So he's talking about your love content here. He's talking about that emotional gate, that connection gate. That's why he said, I'm a jealous God. I shall have no other God before me. So our love for God, we have to esteem God in our heart above anything. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, husband, wife, cars, internet, television, fame, fortune, TikTok, whatever. See, when we put God at the top, then we can be holy without blame before him in love. We make it plain. This is love. Don't mean I won't have my faults, my things that I'm still being delivered from. Remember, we read last week that we're to work out our salvation. In other words, we're to develop this relationship with God. No one that received Christ and asked Christ to forgive them for their sins remain in the same sin state. As he has lifted your soul from that sin and cleansed it, now so shall your body be uprooted and now purged and cleansed also. Having predestined us, having what? Predestined. There they go, that word, destiny. In other words, your destiny was already in the mind of God long before you understood what the word meant. So wanting to be a master of your fate, master of your destiny and all of that, forget that foolishness. There's a plan for your life and God got it. That's why he said, write the vision, not a vision. Write the vision. What? What's the vision? The plan that he has for you. The thing that wakes you up out of night. The dream that you keep having of success. The idea that's burning in your heart. But how can I do it? Abram had no idea what God was kicking him. Here he is. He's 75 years old. His wife is 65 years old. These two old people and a group of other folks that he carried along with him because he had to have help to take care of the livestock, all of that. His nephew, his father, he had to do it. So he brought this big, massive group with him. He said, listen, y'all follow me. Where you going? I don't know. Just follow me. You can imagine the conversation he was having day after day. Oh, look here, Abe. We've been walking for 3 days now. Where are we going? I know when we get there. Hey, well, shoot, could this be here? Could it be here? Can we stop? Can we rest here? Can we stop here? No, we got to keep going. Why? Because there's a place that he said he's going to take me. And he hasn't said this is it yet. And so what I want you to understand, some of your dreams and things that God has put in you that you already have a deep yearning on, and God has revealed it to you that it's going to happen, something that you just want to make happen, but you know that God has dealt with you on. And when you look around and you don't see it now, understand he has already predestined it. All you got to do is follow the plan, and he's going to work out the details. Amen. So having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. In other words, first of all, God said, you know, I'm not trying to make you a soldier. I'm on the battlefield fighting for the Lord. I'm on the battlefield fighting. And that was a good song. Those were great songs. But the truth of the matter is, in the kingdom of God, we're citizens. Amen. And in any kingdom, the people that fight are called soldiers. They are in the army of the kingdom. Now, they may come from members in the kingdom, but they are selected for battle. The ordinary citizens are living in the kingdom under the protection of the king who has an army. And so when you understand that God has a kingdom and he's a king and you're living in his, as a citizen in his kingdom, he already has assigned armies to keep you safe, period. Because every king's job, protection and well-being of his citizens. But it don't just stop there, because I'm not just a citizen of the kingdom. If Jesus be the king, that's my brother. So I'm heir to the kingdom. They protect the royal family. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Glory to God. In the kingdom. Now, you live in a democracy, you may not understand all of that. But watch some of the old movies about kingdoms and see how it works differently. Having predestined us to adoption, in other words, God said, I know you're going to stray away, you're not going to be my people. Even though I'm going to call you my people, you're going to rebel, you're going to be hard-headed, stick-nails. But I'm going to adopt you anyway. See, adoption is different from birth. See, a mother that gives birth to a child, she has no selection of that. Now, that comes through the DNA process. That comes through the underlying. They don't even understand what's going on until it's going on. It happens. They don't choose none of that. It happens. But adoption is you go and see a child that's already here, and you say, you know what? I want to make you mine. I want to make you mine. I want to give you, because I am adopting you, you now going to have full rights as my heir. And see, you and I have been given the spirit of adoption. Amen. So as sons, and that's the general term, sons, that means dealing with sonship, that deals with inheritance, which we were talking about earlier, that means that God has purpose to pass stuff on to us. Not that we earned it. So ain't no sense of boasting about anything that we have or have accomplished. We was able to do those because of his good will. His good will was to bless us. God's good will was to make us prosperous. Now, I know that when you hear the word prosper and you hear it from the church standpoint, you think somebody's going to start talking about prosperity doctrine and you start kind of cringing and everything because somebody told you to be a good Christian, you got to be poor, busted, and disgusted. They lied to you, number one. I'm going to prove it real quick. All through the Bible, we see the men of God having more than enough so that they bless other people. A lot of people want to say, well, Jesus was poor. I want to call to your attention. And I ain't going to spend much time, Mama. I'm just going to call this to your attention. Do you remember the tax collector? Well, his name is Matthews. You know, what we read, the New Testament, starting off with the book of called Matthews. Well, he was a tax collector. Do you remember his conversion of, about how much money he was talking about having? He's a tax collector. He's a person with wherewithal. Did not Jesus say, hey, come follow me? Did not Jesus and the followers that he had went and ate at his house? And he became one of the apostles of Christ, a man with wealth without. So if you're traveling with me and I'm traveling with you, we travel together and we're in a cultural society that believe in hospitality. If you got it, I got it. If I'm sitting on swole, what I look like letting you be hungry? What I look like letting you walk around with an old pair of shoes unless you just say, man, these comfortable. I got to go. Man, these my favorite. Okay, then I'm still going to buy you another pair. Amen, somebody. So it's not about having money. It's, the issue is money having you. When you realize to whom much is given, much is required, when God is giving you a lot to do, a little bit don't do. Think about all of the grand cathedrals that needed to be built. You can't build that on nickels and dimes unless you got millions of nickels and dimes that have all come together to form the type of money necessary to do what needed to be done. So, back to the text. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. See, that's what the grace did. It made us accepted. That's why I tell you, grace is not a get out of jail free card. Grace is an opportunity card that allows you to ask for forgiveness so that you can be accepted. Now, there's nothing I can do to make God hate me, because his word has already stated he commanded his love towards us. If I should lose my ever-loving mind and go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, just straight out cray-cray, and start saying God ain't real and all this stuff, and it just go, you know, I ain't even get no more examples outside that. God still love me. God loved the atheist. God loved the Buddhist. God loved the Hare Krishnas. God loved all of the false religion. He loved the people. He don't love their deeds. He don't love their wicked actions. He loved the people. And there's nothing we can do or have done that will change God's love for his creation. And therefore, the reason redemption was necessary. And God purposed to redeem us so that his love can flow through us. See, as a sinner, God's love was coming my direction. But as a son, God's love now goes through me. And not just to me, but now it's going through me because I accepted him. I've opened up. So now I come a conduit. Something about electricity, when you're dealing with high voltage, you have to be careful what type of clothing you have and the connection. And many times if you're working with someone that's dealing with high voltage, there's a wooden stick or something wooden that the second guy standby is holding, because high voltage wire ever catch you, anybody that touches you, your body become a conduit. that electricity will flow from one hand to wherever they're touching you at. So to get you off of it, they have to use a stick, something to break that connection. And so we have to be mindful. Wow. Can't touch everything. Get back to the text. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Mind one to death. So to the praise and glory of his grace by which he accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. Not our deeds. It is the blood of Christ. The forgiveness of sin. Why all of this is so important? It's important for us to understand that God's process started with him moving forward towards us so that we can fulfill purpose. And if God already sacrificed his own son that we may have, he's already invested himself. So when he's telling us to give our all, he already had gave his. He was already the example. So in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. This is how rich God's grace is. The scripture says that his grace and his mercy renews every morning. So that means, I don't know the highest number that you can come up with, gazillion. If you can have a gazillion mistakes, and you commit those today, and you seek God for forgiveness, tomorrow, that level of grace has restored. That means whatever you did, it's all covered under his blood. That's what God has done for us. Excuse me one more. Thank you, Jesus. If it had not been for the goodness of God, if the grace of God, and the shedding of his own blood, we will be lost to sin. We will be lost in our sin. Lord have mercy. Verse 8 says, which he has made to abide towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasures, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him, and here's where we at, back to our verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things according to the counsel of his will. Verse 12, that we who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trust after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The greatest thing that we can do in this world, the greatest fulfillment in this world, is to receive the salvation from hearing the grace, from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we receive that unto our salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's why we tell you that when you truly receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is the seal that ensures you as a believer that you are on your way to heaven. You're not going to be condemned and cast into the lake of fire. You're not going to hell, but it also tells you're going to have eternal existence. Amen. And I'm not going to say whether it's going to be in heaven or on earth, because in Revelation, those last two chapters let us know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth ascending from the heavens. So yes, we're going to go, those that are raptured up with Christ, we're going to the first heavens, and we're going to go there for a period of time, but we're coming back with him. And we're coming back into this world with him. Amen. As he does the things that he... As he does the thing, so once again, let me read verse 12, 13, and 14 in my closing again. Amen. And I want y'all to go back and read Ephesians chapter 1. Again, this is Ephesians chapter 1. And I could have read it from the original King James, but a lot of times, a lot of people, just a lot that have not been church, when they hear these, thou, does, and it throws them, and it kind of closed the gate for them. And so when we're reading other translations, I try to be clear with you that I'm reading a different translation, and it's for your understanding, it's for your benefit. And if you have one preference or the other, that's fine and dandy. I don't speak Hebrew fluent, and I don't speak Greek, especially ancient Greek or ancient Hebrew. So I can't read the manuscripts, the scriptural text in their original writing. And if I could, then I would have to translate it to you in whatever language I would be talking to you in. And so when we read these different translations, we read it with the understanding it is a translation. And because our language evolves, there are times where we may need to express something slightly different for better understanding. Amen. And so it's my job as a minister and a teacher to make things plain, not to leave you fail. Oh, he real educated. Oh, wow. No, I'm not trying to impress you with me. I'm trying to help us walk through the scripture together so that we may understand all the things of God and how he can use us and his purpose for us. Amen. Because it ain't just about me talking to you. It's been tired. I done ministered something. And while I was ministering, God was speaking to me on a whole nother level on the back end of the scripture I was ministering. So once I finished, I had to go back to the scripture and look at it to see what God was dealing with me on in the very same message. That's how alive the word of God is. We call that the Rhema word, because the word itself is considered the logos. But Christ is also called he is Yeshua, the written word. And so when we begin to look at scriptures, we have to realize that we're speaking some ancient texts. And none of us was here 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago when these manuscripts was written. But they have been preserved and passed on from generation to generation that we may know the nature of our God and King, that we may understand his purpose and plan for the human race. So God has a plan. And his plan involves you, 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 and you, and you, and me. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. We who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So I trust in Christ, number one, bring praise and glory to him. Just us putting our trust in him. In him, you also trust after you heard the word of truth. That's when we started trusting God, because we heard it enough till it got down on the inside of us till we started believing it. And we started experiencing some things to see that it is true, that it does work, just like it's stated. And we start having experience. That's why it's not religion, it's relational. So this is about faith. It is about relationship. So in him, you also trusted. When? After you heard the word of truth. What truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom, singular, also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we go back to the Old Testament, started reading in the book of Joel, where God said in the latter days he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. In other words, God was going to release, because in those days and times, men didn't walk around with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't walk around with men. It was rare occasion when the Spirit of God would descend on certain ones. But there was a promise that God was going to release his Spirit, that our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. And so what we're living in that we're living in those days of time right now where the Spirit of God has been released to mankind. But it's through hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom you have believed. Because there's some people that hear it, but they still haven't believed. So because they haven't believed, they are not sealed. You may believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in him for your salvation. Then you're not sealed. See, if you think you need Jesus as Sam Cooper, that's just a name. Anybody else that you want to plug in there, or any other faith or so-called God or goddess, you're not sealed. Verse 13 again, in him you also trusted. Who is to him? Christ. After you heard the word of truth, not words. I mean, it's not many directions to get to truth. It's the one truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom, not in whom, but in whom, singular. Also, having believed, you were sealed. This is an individual thing. So this one-on-one is about you coming in contact or coming in faith with the gospel of your salvation. So you got to get this for your oneself. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. I just bought a product and I opened the box up and I saw warranty and guarantee. Wow. In other words, the manufacturer said, "Hey, we're gonna warrant your product." But here's the manual. If you operate this according to the manual, use it for the purpose which in the manual stated for, we guarantee that it will perform like we made it. It will do what we made it to do. Who is the guarantee of your inheritance? In other words, all of this bring about having you fulfill destiny, fulfilling your purpose, giving you an inheritance. This is guaranteed until the redemption of, I'm going to read verse 14 again. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? What that say? You didn't know Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack passed, and he remembered you being his younger brother, sibling. And when you was a baby, he told his younger brother that he was going to leave something for you. But Uncle Jack lived on the other side of the world. And when he passed, he made a promise to do something, and he put it in a contract, in a document called his last will and testament. And one day you got a call from a lawyer office saying, "I need you to come hear the last will and testament." And you said, "Well, of who?" "Your Uncle Jack." You didn't know who Uncle Jack was. You had to go and call, make a few phone calls and find out who Uncle Jack was. But nevertheless, you showed up to the hearing. And there was someone of authority of the inheritance left behind by Uncle Jack that were distributing things as he had preordained, that he had predestined, that he had left. And it was in writing, so it was a guarantee. And that lawyer was there to ensure that no one from his family that didn't know who you were, didn't care nothing about you. And that may have been the reason why you didn't know Uncle Jack. But nevertheless, the $2 million that he left for you, he left it for you, and he ensured that you were going to get it and get it all because he put your full name on it. He gave your mama name, your daddy name. He put all the information to make sure that you got just what he desired for you to have. And because you got just what he wanted you to have, you now are walking around because somebody predestined something for you. And that's what the gospel of salvation is for us. It is our guarantee for redemption. I'm guaranteed to be redeemed from my sins. I'm guaranteed to be given back the rights that my father Adam gave away. My destiny is to share this truth with others so that they can regain their rights to the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God is provision for all its citizens and protection. You know it. I'm done with this verse here. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Kingdom. There's promises and guarantees that are set up for all of us. And if we are walking in this world today, we're learning to understand our purpose. And by doing that, it will help me fulfill my destiny. Because the better I understand what God has put in me, the better I'm able to do what he designed me to do. God bless you. Love you with the love of Christ. Excuse me for going a few minutes over my time. I love all of you. God bless you. I now release the mic back into the hands of those that's in charge of the program for today. Thank you once again. I love you. Be blessed.
Well, for good reason you had it a little longer, Pastor Bonnie. It was a great message today, and I want to thank you for that. And I actually ended up with three takeaways for today. First off, you were talking about history. Did you know, here's a little black history that most people don't know. This one's going to be a little black history, a little white history, and a little disabled history. There was, believe it or not, a little colored boy, he was a slave on a plantation, who protected a well-known deaf, blind, disabled girl who became very famous. Now, nobody will ever know who that black child was, but he protected her from harm until she began to learn how to speak with her hands. And you'll actually be able to see, you know, at least the acting of who that young boy was in a movie called The Miracle Worker. Now, of course, Ruth knows some of the actors in that movie would be able to help us with that. And here's a little disabled history. Pastor Bonnet, now, Ruth, don't say anything. What was the first word Helen Keller learned that she actually finally realized the meaning of it when it was spelled to her?
Man, I used to know that. It was some years ago because I watched the movie a long time ago. Man, I cannot remember right now. So, charge it to my head, not my heart.
The word water. The word water. Over and over, Ann Sullivan, who was the white teacher who taught, kept working with her, she'd spell this word and that word, cake, you name it. Doll, you name it. And Helen Keller, it was like, no meaning to her. Just absolutely no meaning to her. She'd put things into Helen Keller's hand and then spell the word. And then one day, Helen Keller, she had brought her out to this pump and started, put her hand on the pump and spelled the word pump. And then, I mean, she had already done this several times. And then when she started to pump the handle, and then she put Helen Keller's hand under the spout, and the water started to gush out. In the other hand, she spelled the word water. And Helen Keller was holding this pitcher to fill the pitcher with water. Helen Keller just dropped the pitcher when she realized the meaning of what was being spelled in one hand was the actual meaning of what she was being feeling in her other hand, and it just like a light turned on. Because in her memoirs, Helen Keller's memoirs, she tells about this, and she said it was just like a light turned on. And then everything that she realized, everything that was being spelled in her hand, she realized it had a meaning, and it was just like, so all of a sudden, just everything. And so there's your kind of history takeaway. So kind of a we'll do a history thing. You can bring up a little black history, but I'll also bring up, you know, a little disabled history for you this month, kind of make it a history month. And then the other takeaway, you were talking about destiny, and, you know, we've been talking about the bus that God, you know, how you were talking about Abraham and how God told him to go to seek a place where God would lead him. And we've been talking about how God has called us to the blind ministry and go out there to blind camps, blind schools, and how we're praying about a bus, and that we've already started raising funds toward that bus. Well, just not too long ago, Ruth was out taking care of the bills here, and we already had now gotten up to 3% of what we needed. And lo and behold, somebody saw her out there and handed her some money, said, here, put this toward your ministry, and jumped the percentage from 3 to 5%. From 3 to 5%.
Do you mind if I tell them how much it was?
Go ahead, Ruth.
It's a $100 bill.
So, I mean, we jumped.
Praise God.
So, I mean, unknown person, we would probably never know who that person was, but we want to thank the Lord for that. And then on top of that, you were talking finally about you know, like if you go to your doctor's office, you never know, you might be like that silicon, you know, sand, you know, going into silicon chips and going all over the world doing, you know, you never know, you might touch people more than a preacher might. Well, I was like, you know, here's what's really interesting. The other day here, we had a technician come in because we were having problems with our internet and stuff like that, and our internet provider came in, and they were looking over our problem, and they found out, yeah, there was some connection problems and stuff like that, and our router was kind of old, so they replaced that. Well, the guy, I was talking to him about Christ, and he had told me about how he had made a commitment way back when he was a kid, but he just kind of backed away from reading his Bible and stuff. And I explained to him, I says, wait a minute. You may be backslid, buddy, but what you need to do is bow your knee and ask Christ basically to take you back, you know, recommit yourself. And how we got around to that part of the conversation, heaven knows, but it was just like you were talking about, you know, in your message. You never know. You could touch somebody and never even know that you're going to be touching them, but the opportunity will be there. Amen. All right, so anyone else with takeaways today?
I thought the message was beautiful, but thinking back to what happened to me one time, the lady named Tanya, we went up to the cemetery at Chestnut Grove, and I led her to Christ up there, and that's the oddest thing I think that I ever did as far as trying to witness, because it just seems kind of weird to, you know, do it up there in the cemetery, but that's where we ended up. So I'm hoping she's still with the Lord. I don't see her anymore, but that's, you know, but that was a wonderful message, Pastor Mike.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you. Well, this is a great overall message. Great message. Now, I encourage anybody that missed it to listen back to it and rewind. And as always, you'll get a great message from Pastor Bonnet. As we're in the month of February, destiny, and we're still living in our purpose. So live in your purpose and walk in your destiny. So
amen.
Great, great message. Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Okay, are you complete?
I'm complete.
Okay. All right. I enjoy the message, too. Excuse me, about understanding our purpose, and it helps fulfill our destiny. And I was thinking about the five things that you were saying, who am I, where am I from, why am I here, what are you good at, what can you do, and where am I going? And just thinking about all of that. And I already know you know, those questions. I never answered them directly, but I understood my gifts that God gave me in pushing me towards that destiny. So when you was talking about your full potential, you know, it just resonated with me with all that you were saying. So I took that, and that was a great portion of your message. I also like the quote from Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. And if you don't mind, if you could repeat those one more time, because those were powerful. Thank you. I'm complete.
Amen. Amen. I will. Five points are, and I'm going to do all in order here. The five points were, who am I? Number one. Number two, where am I from? At the origin of life. Number three, why am I here? That's purpose. Number four, what can I do? And that a lot of times that's dealing with your identity and purpose. And where am I going? That's your destiny. Dr. Martin Luther King said, the time is always right to do what is right. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Coretta Scott King stated, hate is too great a burden to bear. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated. Coretta Scott King.
Quotes are deep.
Yeah. I really like Sister Scott King.
okay, cool.
Yes. You dropped that off. That's definitely a positive from the preacher. But what she says, if I think probably 50% at least of depression that's in our world today would be gone if they understood this and let go of the hate.
Mm-hmm. Can't agree with you more. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, just like if you're angry at somebody. Now, you sit up there angry at them, your face is balled up like a piece of foil, and the person you're angry at, they ain't thinking about you. But yet, you go like a big ball of Reynolds wrap, all about the face. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, your face don't represent it, you know, so it just don't make no sense, you know. It's a new year. This is the fourth month of the new year. I mean, the fourth day of the new year. And still full of possibilities. 2024 is still full of possibilities. So everybody remember that. Remember those that didn't make it into the new year. Speaking of Mr. and Mrs. King, pray for the King family. They lost their son, Dexter. So please continue to hold them up in prayer. Also, we're praying for the Weather family, actor Carl Weather, Apollo Creed from Rocky, various other movies, passed away at age 76. And we just want to send out our condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network families. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, your friends, your fans at this difficult time. Rest in peace from the Six Eyes Radio Network, Mr. Weathers and Mr. Dexter King.
Okay. Yeah, remember Carl Weathers, Action Jackson.
Yes. Oh, my God. Action Jackson. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody know I'm a good time historian, and Carl Weathers was on. You know the episode I'm talking about? You make me real happy if you do.
Say the question again.
Okay. Not only he was in Action Jackson, but he also was on an episode of Good Times. Do you remember the particular episode it was?
I don't remember. No, I don't.
Is this one Rock?
Ma'am?
My wife might remember. I don't remember. He might have.
He definitely was on there. I'm going to tell y'all. I don't want you to strain your brain. All right. So this particular episode, you know, the Evans had it rough, you know, and James, you know, worked his pockets off. He worked so hard. So this particular time, JJ was commissioned to paint a painting of the new lady who just moved in, Mrs. Brooks, but she had a name. They called her the Wiggler. So JJ was commissioned to paint this painting. But it was a painting in the nude. Mr. Evans finally agreed that he could paint the picture. So Miss Evans suggested instead of picture nude that she wear a bathing suit. He said, well, it's his birthday. I want to do it in my birthday suit. So the Wiggler took Miss Evans, yes, Lord. The Wiggler took Miss Evans' advice, and JJ painted the picture of her in the bathing suit. Carl Weather was the wife of Mrs. Brooks. And this particular time, Carl Weathers knocked on the door, and he's like, you messing with this bag of bones? And I'm like, hey, take your hand off this bag of bones. This bag of bones is my son. Say your prayers, buddy. His wife was messing with JJ, but she was only painting the picture.
Yeah.
So that's the episode she was in. That lady was Mrs. Bridges, which is Todd Bridges' mother, which you all know as Willis Jackson from Different Strokes.
That's Todd
Bridges' mother, the Wiggler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because remember when James was sitting there, he said, "Florida, this coffee called. Let me get another cup of thai. Coffee." Yeah,
that was good. That's a Black History moment.
yes. That's one of my favorite episodes right there.
Every episode is one of your favorite episodes.
That one stands out.
Why, I wonder.
Amen.
Oh, I liked it when Michael sung the song "You and I."
Oh yes, yes.
One of the final episodes? Not one of the final. It was during the wedding.
He sung it during the wedding. Him and Janet did the duet.
Yeah.
Well, what you're talking about is you don't have to be a star. That was the
They did the duet. You don't have to be a star, baby, to be in my world. But he sang the song by himself, "You and I." Yeah.
At the wedding, yes, I remember. I remember. And a lot of people thought that O'Brien made that song. He did make that song, but Stevie Wonder made it first.
Yeah, but Mike saw that thing real good. I put the original soundtrack on that, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
He did a real good job.
Yeah,
he saw it. He had a real good voice for it.
Somebody's moving around.
Yeah. Mute your line, if you would, please. Thank you, Callie.
Please mute your mic. These are things that's supposed to be on top of.
Well,
we appreciate
you.
You got it.
Sometimes we forget and get it moving. Amen.
All right.
Wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Looking forward to sharing some other things with the group on tomorrow on Motivational Monday.
Mm-hmm.
As we just take this journey together as a team, and we're fulfilling our purpose. Amen. We're developing the kingdom of God by fulfilling our personal destinies. And that's each of us. We're gonna be talking about it. So later on, every now and then, we're going to be looking for some testimonials, amen, of the good things God is doing in us and through us, amen, health-wise, business-wise, ministry-wise, however God is doing. We want to be talking about these things. I think it's very important, really, to refound and to let the world know that God didn't just bless the people back then, but God is blessing people right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the same loving God from the beginning is the same loving God today. And
amen.
So he was good then, he's good now, and he's going to be good tomorrow, whenever you think of tomorrow. So he is good. Amen. He alone is good. Matter of fact, it's funny that, you know, even Jesus had to deal with somebody who said, "Hey, good master, why are you calling me good?" He said, "There's none good but the Father. So why you, why?" And he asked a very unique question. Why are you calling me good? And sometimes, you know, we throw terms out there. We throw names out there. And we have hidden agendas. And so a lot of times we think, because we flatter people, that they pronounce things better concerning us. And and so he said, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And he gave him the answer. And he said, "Well, I've done those things since my youth up." He said, "Well, you lack one thing." And I ministered this once before, in a little bit more detail. I said, he told me, "You lack one thing. I want you to go back and fulfill the Levitical law, number 3:17 and 3:18. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me." And the Lord said, Scripture said that that rich ruler, he didn't respond like the tax collector said, "If I robbed anybody, I give it back with interest, times this and that, and I'm going to give half what I got to the poor." See, he truly converted. He truly bought into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say Jesus' group wasn't broke at all. Not at all. And if you understood the society that they was in, when a teacher have roles and you started following them, you just didn't follow them barehanded. You brought things. A lot of teaching is misunderstood because you don't understand the culture. you don't understand the tithe. But nevertheless, I digress from that. Man, he tells him, sell what you got, give it to the poor, come follow me. He said, this is the reason why it's hard, not impossible, but hard for the rich to get into the kingdom. In other words, he didn't understand the kingdom principle. The kingdom principle is provision for all. It's dealing with us blessing one another. It's dealing with us touching one another. That COVID-19 that made people want to stay home, made people want to be isolated by themselves, you're not even understanding the principles that God has placed in order for a lot of things to be released in your life. If there any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church. They will pray the prayer of faith, lay hands on them, and they'll be healed. One text says, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal them. And so a lot of times we don't need to understand that your behavior can interfere with your receiving the kingdom, not the kingdom, because the kingdom is. The kingdom is going to always be yours. The kingdom is, you can't stop the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to access the kingdom of God, you got to do what the scripture says. You got to accept it with childlike faith. You know, how many children in this world believe in the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, all because somebody said, oh, you better be bad. Santa Claus going to see. You ain't going to get no toy. Oh man. Or, oh, take your teeth and put it in your pillow when you go to sleep. The tooth fairy going to leave you some money. Man, how many kids just take it at their word?
Yeah.
I mean, and it is innocent. But that's how the word of God, we take it at face value. We don't look for deceit. So you got people now, they read the Bible not for enlightenment. They look for it to find the defined issues. They try to look at it to fight an argument for the wrong cause. Because that's about to start another sermon in me, so let me hush.
Amen. And speaking of, it is 2024, February 4th. You and I have had this conversation. You and I have had this conversation several times. I said the world wants to see Pastor Bonnie. And Pastor Bonnie told me.
We just changed our internet service, so in fact, we just got some things redone here, and so that's coming real soon now, because we made a couple changes here
right now,
and maybe making one more additional change, but trying to position ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
So had to work on some things.
Yeah. Amen.
So we're getting to where we need to be. Not quite all the way there, but we're getting there. And I believe every journey that starts, it starts with the first step, but it don't finish till you pass that line. And so,
amen. We got all the year. So,
amen.
So.
Amen. So, and how are you, first lady? Amen.
I thought that was queen. I heard. Well, first lady on here too.
No, yeah, she's on here, but I had muted her mic. I can open it back up.
All right. Who all we got?
We need to do the Bloodhound of Scripture, though, before we get cut off.
In the
car. Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Let's go.
All right. Let's see who's got their sniffer protected from the pepper trap that we have for this week. So here we go.
It hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Ooh, some good stuff for us to pay attention to. When the Spirit speaks unto the churches, we need to pay attention. So let us hear that bloodhound again.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
All right. Anybody know where that could possibly be?
Revelation 3:22.
Well, that's one place where it can be. Where else do you think?
Revelation 2:7.
Yep, that's another spot.
Okay, and where else did I find it? Matthew 11:15.
He's probably using Revelation 2:29.
Close, but even though that is another spot, but that's not it.
Matthew 11:15.
Nope.
Okay. Revelation 3:13.
Ooh, you're even closer.
Wow. Oh boy. Because I know I found several of them.
Hurt you.
I saw Revelation 2:17.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you'll find
Revelation
it between chapter 2 and chapter 3 seven times.
Okay, well,
uh-huh.
I know how to learn 2 and 7.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jesus.
There's seven times you'll see that.
2 and 11.
Did you use Matthew 11:15? No, that's not.
Nope.
No, for me, it's a whoever. No, mind. It's a whoever. Well,
I know Revelation 3:6.
Revelation 2:7.
That's the one I use. 3 and 6.
Yay!
That's the particular one I used,
so
even though you can find it in those other spots you were talking about. In Revelation 2, Revelation 3, 13, Revelation 3, 22. Yeah, those other spots, you'll find it actually in between Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. If you look, you'll see it repeated seven times.
Why
yeah,
they do
I think
that?
I went through all of them.
So ding, you got it right. Even
yeah,
when
I'm about to play
good
it.
Job. Good job.
Good job, guys.
Good job. I think that was seven times.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. Now, here's the one, though, you'll have to sniff out by next week.
Thou shalt not kill.
Ooh, this one's going to get the abortionist. Let's hear that again.
Thou shalt not kill.
And so much for the multiple shootists at the schools as well. Amen. And one more time for our listeners' sake.
Thou shalt not kill.
And so, that's what you got to sniff out by next week and beware of the pepper trap. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, Nikhil, make sure you check that Facebook box so the people can share this show right after we get out of here, and share the show on the Facebook pages. Also, make sure you join, if you haven't done so already, everyone around the world, if you have not done so already, join the Six Eyes Radio Network group.
Radio.
Great group.
And it can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, ma'am. Hello, First Lady.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I just want to ask, I know that y'all was asking me, are we in a bonus hour now?
We are, yes. We're frying chicken.
Okay. About the anybody's birthdays in February?
Yes, ma'am.
My mother's,
yes,
heavenly birthday. My grandmother's heavenly birthday. My niece out in California is the 28th of February. My godson's was the 2nd of February. Jakari Williams.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep them listed up. I have to write all their names. I'm not quit writing their names. But now, just shout out their birthdays and everything. But also, Brother Isaac, it's two things that I just sent you just now. So I just want to know if it came through. And that and y'all can check that. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, First Lady. Appreciate it. Amen.
And I'm just checking. I'm gonna check every month to see birthdays.
Okay.
Y'all put me over that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen.
And God bless everyone, and I love you all.
Thank you. God bless. We love you as well. Well, we're gonna get ready to get out of here. I want to thank you all for joining the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Here each and every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific, when you get your praise on without leaving the house. Remember, it's history, and history is 365 days of year. And my take on it is, let it be history. But then what you're looking for is the invention. You're looking for, hey, who invented this? What great man, what great woman invented this? And then when you find out, okay, it was a beautiful African-American woman. It was an African-American man that created, you know, the adventure that you enjoy. You know, I think that's a lot better than just having it being Black history. It's history. So with that, I'm complete. God bless. Love you all. You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Take care. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, day, night, wherever you may be in the part of the world. Take care.
God bless everybody.
God bless everyone.
God
have a nice day. Love everyone. Bye-bye.
God bless.